Baby, whoa, whoa, look so scream. Hand him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is artist Heather Watkins. Her show Elemental Things is on now at PDX Contemporary Art through November 28th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus again, Heather.
Thank you, Joseph. I'm glad to be here.
Right now you're showing at PDX 13 sculptures, four kind of big gold works on paper, and then four other works on paper, smaller pieces. Let's look at the sculptures first. They're these black shapes. They're lines in the air. They're flat because they came from paper, so cut out paper. Very abstract. And then there's black steel wire holding them up in the air. So because they're paper, they couldn't normally do this, but a certain rigidity lets them be held up. And then this being PDX, the walls are perfect white, so the shadows on the wall are really beautiful and interesting as they overlap. Now, where does this type of sculpture stand in your work?
The group title of these is Unbound Volumes, and then they're each numbered. And I really think of these as a kind of evolution, like almost an inevitable evolution of a drawing practice that I've been working with for, I don't know, at least 15 years, in which I pour ink onto paper. Usually, I've worked with a variety of different kinds of paper. Sometimes it's a thick printmaking paper, as is the case for most of these. And I begin to move the paper, hold it, tilt it, bend, hold, and the ink puddle starts to split into multiple lines that then I'm guiding and letting flow and trying to bring to some kind of resolution. I work iteratively, and so, you know, a lot of these processes that I use, I work over and over and over again. You know, I've done hundreds of these kinds of drawings. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, when I was developing work or beginning to develop work for my exhibition with Fabiola Menkelli at Reed College, last year I began to carve out some of these drawings from the paper. I'd always thought of them as really sculptural drawings and had this desire to like peel the ink off of the surface of the paper. Over the past 15 years, I've been working with sculptural line, with like a really fluid, movable line, often with large-scale fibers that I cords that I soak in ink. And so this feels like an extension of those gestures. And the series that preceded these works, I worked on really actively between 2008 and 2012, was called Surfacing. And so over and over again, I would work with different black inks that, you know, some are very, very shiny, like Sumi, some were more matte, like Speedball, Super Black, India Ink. They had different colorations. And so those series, which I showed in large grids, those all were kind of about this very dimensionalized drawing practice, but it was still held within a grid and on the wall like a drawing. And here they just keep moving further out into space and are rising from the floor instead of suspending from the ceiling as some of my fiber sculptures have done.
So you would say you got black paper with black ink and you're waving the paper around to make the ink run. Are you trying to create a closed loop, like you don't have any stray ends?
That's a great question. In this case, yes. I think that's one of the guiding principles that emerged. Like when I first started working with this process and working it out, in some cases I was letting the ink run off all the edges, or maybe three of the edges. So there are some other series before Surfacing where they're more like webs that extend across the whole sheet. In this group, and then in another group that were black ink on a gray paper, they're more contained and more about sort of the internal connections. And some of what draws me or compels me in this work is trying to see what what kind of fluid line I can make or I can be part of, like participate in a drawing process that isn't completely controlled just by me and my hand, but it's embodied. It has to do with gravity and tension and some of these elemental forces that I've been interested in and that have been part of my work for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Some of the pieces have shiny marks on them, like they're still wet, like mm-hmm. the ink was very thick there. Mm-hmm. Are they wet?
No, but this one right in front of us does have some more shiny pooling little patches, and I think that is definitely where I had more ink and just let it dry like that. Mm-hmm. In some cases, when there's a lot of ink on one of these drawings, I will make a kind of a monoprint by laying a sheet of mulberry or Japanese paper over it, and then I'll peel that off. And so those, I've also cut some of those out, and those appear as sculptures. They're a little more fluttery or shaggy. Somebody was describing mm-hmm. them as shaggy looking, and it's black and white, and it's also lighter weight paper. So in the exhibition at Reed, which was very different in environment, this is light filled, there are windows, the walls are all white. In the Reed exhibition, the exhibition at the Cooley, we had, Fabiola and Stephanie and I had designed the exhibition space to be very dark, and the walls were a deep blue-gray, and a lot of the comments that I got about these sculptures presented there was that people thought they were metal. So addressing your note, what you notice about the surface. And the major tell was these few sculptures that that are made with the mulberry paper, which would kind of shake as people walked by or breathed near them. They kind of quiver. So
some of them do look like recognizable shapes. I see a bit of a face there. Maybe it's just the Halloween hangover, but I see a bit of a skull. Another one, the tallest one, looks like a baseball cap if you stand at the right angle. But generally, what kind of abstraction are you looking for?
When I'm making these, if I start to see something that I can recognize, I run in the other direction. Yeah. I am really interested, or more interested in the energy of the line and looking for what feels like a kind of honesty to the ink and the paper interaction. And, you know, like another way that I engage with abstraction is, and it's not something I show in the gallery so much, but I take a lot of photographs while I'm walking, and always have. I've carried a camera since I was really little, and like I'm often tuning into lines that I see in nature that are, you know, twisting branches or like the sort of crazy asphalt seams on the road or lines in reflected water and those kinds of lines. I think I'm like unconsciously learning from them how to draw or how to make a form that mm-hmm. has a sort of authenticity mm-hmm. in nature.
The kind of lines in nature, particularly ripples and things, they're infinite. Mm-hmm. They'll never run out, they'll never end. Mm-hmm. So that must be, do you find that inspiring?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a part of my practice that isn't so much directly feeding into the work that I show, like in a literal way, but it informs how I see.
When you have the paper and the ink has made its shape and you like it and you want to cut it out and turn it into a sculpture, how close to the ink do you cut and what kind of tool do you use?
I cut right on the edge, right around the edge.
Do you actually cut the ink or are you just still cutting paper?
No, I'm cutting the paper right on the edge of the ink. When I first started doing this, I tried a number of different tools. Like my favorite cutting tool is an Olfa knife, a snap blade. It's not an X-Acto, but it works like that. I like the snap blade feature and I've always used those. And I found those were pretty uncomfortable to hold and wield. It worked, but some of these take quite a while and my grip strength isn't what it used to be. So I found that a rubberized handled X-Acto was what I wanted.
Could you use lasers?
I don't know. You know, somebody asked me that, like, what's the point of you doing this all by hand? Why couldn't you just do it with a laser? And then I looked at them kind of stunned, and they were like, I'm just kidding. I can tell why you're
I'm not kidding.
Because it's about the hand. It's like another form of drawing for me. And it's really slow. You know, it's like the ink drawings happen pretty quickly. And so this is revisiting those lines in a much slower way.
So you're cutting and you're making decisions about the lines as you go. Do you ever just say, turns out I don't like this one and just
cut it out?
Yeah, just
really rarely,
abandon it.
Really rarely. Like if there's one, I would say once in a while there was like some smear or nub or something that extended and I cut that off. But most of them are just, these were what the drawings were. Mm. And then these are what they've become as sculptures. So you can see like some of it, sometimes there's just a lot of irregularity that happens as I'm pouring the ink and the ink's moving around and then I switch directions and, you know, I may be switching directions looking at one part of the drawing and something else is happening on another part that I can't see both at once. And mm-hmm. So sort of about shifting the attention and letting then, things be, really.
And then at some point you have to make a decision about how to turn into a 3D object. How much time do you spend on that?
Oh, it really varies. Some of these have been hanging around in my studio for a long time, and some of them it happens quickly. But I think it's sort of it's about like a practice and kind of getting into a rhythm with it.
Mm-hmm. Because you use the black wire to hold them up, and that, like I said, that becomes another kind of drawn line, a different, a consistent line, you know, the thickness.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're kind of doing that in real time. You're moving them around and putting the wire and bending mm-hmm. it. Is that right?
When I first started working with these, I just was working with baling wire, which is this thinner wire. Very bend, you know, it bends really easily, but it still can hold up a form.
Mm-hmm. It's not black enough.
It's not black enough. And then in some of them, I started to look for other types of wire, and along the way, you know, other people would suggest wire to look into. So some of these are for training bamboo, and some of them are just, you know, I would just spend hours at Ace Hardware. This is not a promotion, but, you know, working through the wire racks there. Some of them, you know, sometimes some of them the wire is shiny and I let it be. Some of them I didn't like how shiny it was, so I spray painted it. So,
my name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is artist Heather Watkins. Her show Elemental Things is on now through November 28th at PDX Contemporary Art. That's at 1825 B Northwest Vaughan Street, the newish location. So Heather, you have these four amazing gold works on the wall. They're paper. I mean, they're wrinkled and they're off the wall by like a couple of inches. And each one has this sort of embossed image in the middle, well, filling it in a very orderly manner. Same kind of thing as a sculpture. So these are lines that loop around, intersect, different thicknesses, kind of like a very irregular web, or maybe like a cell, like a cross section of a cell, something like that, very organic. And they're just sort of embossed in the paper. And the paper itself is kind of wrinkly, you know, whatever the mark has distorted the plane of the paper and made the edges sort of wobbly, and they stand out nicely off the white wall. What was this process, and you know, what is this paper?
Like a lot of the processes that I use, this one came about while I was on the way, like on a different mission. And that mission was that I had begun making the cutout sculpt, the black ink cutout sculptures, and I was curious about what it would look like to have something shiny or like a gold or silver tone on the back of the sculptures, so that on the back of the ink line, so you'd have black on one side and then something kind of glowing. And I think some of this even preceded like the real like three-dimensional, you know, mounting on bases status of the current sculpture. So I went to the art supply store and was looking at, you know, gold paint and gold ink to paint on the back of one of the cutout sculptures. And looking through the paper drawers, I found this paper and thought, oh, well, that'll be easier. I'll just make a black ink drawing on the back of this paper and cut it out. So I took it back to the studio and worked on a few drawings and left them overnight to dry, and came back and flipped it over and saw this wild, molten, molded sculptural relief, really. And I did try cutting one out, but the paper is very, very lightweight and couldn't hold itself in the sculptural, in the way the sculptures do. Most of the sculptures are made on a thicker, heavier printmaking paper.
Mm-hmm. How thick is this paper? Is it like wrapping paper?
It's a commercially made paper that I think is intended for book arts and maybe, you know, like end leaves or something kind of fancy. And I think printers use it, or it's often spec'd in book design project. I had only bought about 6 sheets, and I ran right back the next day and bought the rest of it because it was so exciting to work with and to find this kind of surprise in a material. Like, I'm often pushing really simple materials, ink and paper, to do something that's unforeseen, that I don't quite expect, and yet that's also really true to its nature. And so part of what's going on here is that as the ink dries, the fluid ink dries on the back of the sheet, the way that this gold pigment is fused to the front surface of the paper, it looks almost like a cloth. It's a German-made paper, and I don't know exactly how they manufacture it, but the front surface, you know, just has all this sort of tension and coherence that's disrupted by the evaporation of the ink on the back.
Right. So you're pouring black ink on the backside, which is white, and as the ink dries, it shrinks and shrinks the paper, but the gold side doesn't shrink as much. It stretches and it bulges, and you know, it just can't go in the same direction. And then I think the second from the right, the lines are very clear. That they're harder lines, I think, more discreet. Was that a function of how you moved your body, or what was going on?
I mean, I think
this?
In part of what's different is you see the thinner lines, like even in all of them, where there are thinner lines, you get kind of a deeper shadow because it rises a little bit more. I mean, the effect is that it almost looks, and many people thought that I had like pressed something from behind, like, you know, like a industrial sheet mold process or something like that.
I mean, it's beautiful because the top side of each kind of horizontal ridge is bright white gold because the light's coming from above. Mm-hmm. And then you have a dark shadow on the other side, kind of like a photo of the desert, you know, in the morning on a ridge. Mm-hmm. And then the outside, where it's wrinkled, you just have these undulations of gold and dark brown gold and gray. This is a different kind of thing, right? Is the same person who buys a sculpture for the corner of their condo gonna buy one of these? Are these for different people?
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting question. I think of them all, for me, they're all gestures of drawing. They're all drawings, and yet all of my drawings have this sort of sculptural undercurrent or desire or urge or something. So I think of them as equivalent, and I think, you know, part of what is exciting for me about abstraction and the way I work is hearing what other people see in it. Like, you see a baseball hat in that one over there, and you know, some people see organs or, you know, things that are sort of macro or micro, have to do with the body or the universe.
These gold pieces are just sort of floating in front of the wall. They seem very delicate. Like if you wanted to have one at home, would they come in a big kind of shadow box?
Oh, good question. We have an example of one framed that's at the end of the hallway. And it was an interesting process trying to figure out how to frame them, because as I made them, you know, I think there was nothing in me that wanted to put these in a conventional frame. I was really glad that both here and at Reed we could show them unframed. But I recognize that if somebody wants to live with it, or if an institution wants to care for it, they may have conditions where they want to frame it. So we've got a plexiglass box, and the work is mounted on a white panel. And that seemed like a good way to let you experience the sculptural qualities of it, and also not to entrap it so much.
The third type of piece you're presenting here is, these are works on paper. So this is white mulberry paper. These are quite small, you know, like a foot and a half by a foot, in little black frames. And it's black lines on white. And you're using ink. What kind of process are you using? These look sort of like coiled ropes or tentacles or, you know, flooded kind of black areas.
Yeah, so this group of works is made using another different drawing process that is still exploring the energy of line and how a specific material can make a line. In this case, I'm working with a pretty thin gauge cotton cord that I soak in ink and then lay between sheets of mulberry paper. And sometimes the ink is more diluted than others, so you'll see some grayer areas. And then I use compression, like, you know, sort of I'll layer several sheets and then put something else on top to, you know, like a big panel, and press it and let it dry overnight.
Sorry, do you press it under a big board or something?
Yeah, under a big board.
With a heavy weight?
Not too heavy. And sometimes it's really just molding it with my hands too, you know, around the line.
And these are, what's the series called?
The series is called Before Things, and the whole series is 13 works on paper, using two different drawing processes. The process I just described, which are the works shown here at PDX, and then for the other part of the series, I worked with a mineral paper in which I was pouring ink between the sheets of paper and rubbing and peeling and kind of scrubbing the surface, really just experimenting with the gestures of printmaking in a very direct and raw, immediate way.
So you've got a thing about things, right? You got a little sticker on your laptop that says one thing at a time. Tell us about Ovid and this concept of before things are created.
Yeah, so as I was working on a lot of these works that were first shown at the Cooley, I was really thinking about starting points and beginnings, and maybe some of this was also like starting again, and that feeling of being at the beginning of a new body of work, or trying to like crack into a new process or a new way of seeing and making in the studio. And I, as I often do, kind of surround myself with literature and references and essays, and I kind of create this atmosphere of language around me in the studio. And one of the sources that I pulled at that point was Ovid's Metamorphoses, and specifically the first chapter, the prologue, and the first chapter, which is about the creation. Mm-hmm. So I was also looking at other creation stories and creation myths, and just looking at the language that's used to describe how this world and how the beings in this world have come into being.
Just read a few lines of this translation. Yeah.
So this is my kind of rearrangement and adaptation of Alan Mandelbaum's translation of the Metamorphoses of Ovid. Each of these is a subtitle of one of the drawings in the series. Before the sea and lands began to be, before the sky had mantled everything, before surrounding air had found its home, before Earth's weight had met its balanced state, before the weightless force of fire shot up, before the ground, more dense, drew elements, before the farthest fields enlarged their reach, before descending rivers sought their paths, before the woods, unfelled, were clothed with leaves, before the rains and mist that drench arrived, before the winds received their separate tracts, before the seas would stretch and swell and roil, before the stars, long hid, began to gleam. So in that, I'm kind of thinking about calling attention to the state of things before. So this kind of Mandelbaum's doesn't quite go like that with this this rhythmic chanting of before, before, before. But
you think Ovid was like thinking of the, like, before creation, like a sort of, you know, Big Bang, sort of Roman style.
Yeah.
And yet are you, other people might be thinking of cells dividing under a microscope, or life coming from seemingly nowhere. Well, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about art?
I'm thinking about the elemental forces that shape the universe and how often, I mean, I don't know that I can put it into words, which is why I reach for any language that I can to sort of think about and work through very abstractly. Often it's just like a phrase that I kind of work with over and over again in the studio. But I'm you know, sometimes thinking of the unseen forces that shape what's going on. So it's kind of what's interesting to me about making a drawing where I'm only partially controlling it, and I start to let the ink move, and then I let it go, and then I pull it back, and let it go, and pull it back, and there's a sort of attunement or attentiveness that allows me to have that I don't always walk around having. You know, we walk around and are distracted by many, many things, but for me, making is a place when I can get into a process that allows me to arrive at something unforeseen and that allows me to understand a material in a different way and maybe also creates an opportunity for sort of wonder or bewilderment or contemplation. I feel like that is something that I can offer.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was artist Heather Watkins. Her show Elemental Things is on now through November 28th at PDX Contemporary Art, which is now at 1825B Northwest Vaughan Street in Northwest Portland. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus again in person, Heather.
Thank you, Joseph. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on my whoa, 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 whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart.